Hello friends, greetings of the day. Hopefully my first chapter was quite interesting. You liked the content as well as you were happy with the way it was presented. The second chapter what we have is safety, health and environment. Safety, health and environment can't be actually defined within these three words. It is quite vast. Safety not only means doing work safely or ensuring that you are safe, it also means that you ensure that others are safe. You don't enter into any situation which puts you, your immediate surrounding, your staff, your employees in risk. So let's start with what safety and health and environment is all about. So any administration department of an organization or the main priority of any organization is safety. It wants to ensure that the employees are safe, they are healthy, they are not exposed to any kind of risk, and in doing so or in whilst doing their activity of business, they don't harm the environment. Which is, when you put together these three words, safety, health and environment, it actually forms SHE or EHS. There is another nomenclature which comes with it, or guidelines, which are called OSHA, O-S-H-A, which is Occupational Safety and Health Administration. These also guidelines help you understand the objective behind EHS or OSHA. So, as I would say, the slogan should be safety first, or it could be as simple as that, better safe than sorry. Safety, as I mentioned earlier, right, definitions are there to ensure that you can define a certain condition within minimal words. So the definition as it is mentioned is the freedom from those conditions that can cause harm or even death to the person, or can cause damage or loss to property, and can cause damage to environment. It can be also defined as freedom from unacceptable risk of harm. So safety is an environment in which you are safe, your place of work is safe, people working in the place of work are safe, and whilst doing the work which you are doing, the environment also is safe. So all conditions for you to perform that activity is safe, and it is free from any risk. A simple example would be when you're sitting at a desk, the chair is not imbalanced and there is not a risk of you falling over and hurting yourself. So that could be workplace safety, as simple as that. Accident again is defined as an unplanned and uncontrolled event, the action or reaction of which on a substance, object or person may lead to injury or probability of the injury. As I mentioned earlier, let's take the same example. Yes, if the chair was damaged, fair enough. That is a risk which was not mitigated. Whilst you are sitting on the chair, if one of the leg gets damaged or breaks off, then that is an incident which was not planned for or you had not foreseen. There might be any situations like this where you had no idea that such a thing could happen. And when that situation occurs, it is called as an accident. An accident not only could cause injury, visible or non-visible, to you or people next to you, it could also damage the environment. So that is defined, that condition is defined as an accident. Now when we see that whenever an accident or such incidents happen, okay, every organization has a way of calculating productivity or efficiency within that organization. Whenever an employee cannot perform his regular activity within that organization for the next 48 hours, then it is called as lost time injury. This is for people who are working within the organizations, within the factories. If for certain reason, due to conditions within the organization, he gets injured, then definitely there is loss of productivity. Such incidents, whenever they happen, as per acts, the Labor Act or the Factory Act. In India, there is a Factory Act which was formed in 1948. There was a revision in 1976. And from time to time, there are addendums to the Act. Injury, whether it is small or large or fatal, there is a certain process which needs to be followed. The person needs to be given first aid or needs to be given medical care, and it has to be recorded, and as per the guidelines set down by the Factories Act, it has to be informed to the factories inspector, to the police, to the family. After intimation, there is a report which is required by the law to be filled in, which basically captures the event, how it occurred, what were the conditions before the event, what were the conditions after the event, what was the injury cause, what was the extent of the injury, was it only to a certain individual or a group of individuals, or the injury was not to the individual but there was an impact to the environment. Hazard. Hazard, as I might define, is that a potential which can cause an accident. A simple example to give you is, it is hazardous to cross the road when the signal for pedestrian to cross is red. So this is definitely a hazard which has to be identified, and you cannot do that activity. Whenever you do that activity, it will definitely result into an accident. That accident will result into injury to yourself, to your colleagues, to others, or it could damage the office, the equipment, or it could also cause damage to the environment. Whenever there is an office or a premises which is starting, there is an inspection or an audit carried out by the safety inspector. He ensures that all the parameters for that office are within the safety limit, and there are no such locations, no such conditions within that premises, office or organization which can be hazardous and result into an accident. It has to be properly documented. If there are certain conditions which are there, then there has to be a mitigation strategy by which you take the risk away. It is very, very essential that you do audits on a regular basis. It doesn't stop of you doing one audit when the organization starts that particular facility, premises, factory or office, but it has to be a continuous effort. on a periodic basis, you have to identify conditions. You have to identify the situations which could be hazardous and can cause accidents resulting into injury. The loss could be also of life, but also of property, or loss of environment. Whenever there is a hazard, it has to be categorized, and there is a risk associated with it. Now, there is definitely a hazard to cross the road, but the risk of crossing the road when the pedestrian signal is green is nearly zero, whereas the risk associated of you crossing the road when the pedestrian signal is red is high, or the probability is high. Whenever you want to do a matrix where you want to capture the risk, it should be the risk, the severity of the risk, and the probability of it occurring. Let me correlate it with a traffic signal. The risk of you crossing the road when the pedestrian signal is green is zero, whereas the risk of you crossing the road when the pedestrian signal is red is 10. So the probability of you meeting an accident is 10 when you cross the road when the signal is red, and is 0 when you cross the road when the signal is green. Similarly, the injury which might occur will depend on that particular incident or accident. So you should always take into consideration the severity of the incident and also the probability of the incident. So when you see it on an x and y axis, at zero the probability would be zero and the severity will be zero, whereas when you move towards the x axis, if you take that as severity and the y axis as probability, then it moves from 0 to 10 on y and 0 to 10 on x. So a high risk, high probability will come in the line if you draw 10 from x and 10 from y. There are many ways in which you can manage risk. There is another way of saying it, that you come with mitigation strategies. Whenever you identify risk, there are some risk which will go away, there are some risk which will be there. Those risks are called residual risk, and the risk which have been taken away have been mitigated. So if you look at your office or your premises, and when you do the safety audit, you will identify certain places where there are risk. A very good example given here is using 24 volts lamp instead of 230 volt, right? So definitely you know the risk is high, and when you plug it in, it will short circuit. So now if we go back to the matrix, 24 volt bulb into a 230 volt supply, the risk will be high, this probability is high, and the severity is also high. Whereas if you use either 24 lamps for 24 volts or 234 for 230 volts of power supply, the risk will be low, the probability will be low, and the severity will be also low. So that would be zero at the center of the x and y axis. whenever you identify a risk, it is not necessary that the risk will go away instantly. A simple example giving here is that if there is a short circuit, if there is a fire, if the floor has caved in, if there is a crack to the ceiling, if there is a crack to the column, so then you have to isolate the hazard or that situation and ensure that no one is near vicinity of that location in order to avoid an accident and ultimately avoiding injury or further damages to employees as well as the machinery or premises. You should definitely control the exposure or contact. As we could very clearly say that if you see that something is wrong, you have to ensure that you isolate everyone from that situation. Whenever you are doing your work, you should ensure that you are properly equipped with gears, facility and every means to perform your work safely. If you are doing a welding, then definitely you need to have your safety glasses, you need to have your safety gloves. If you are lifting heavy equipment, you need to have safety boots. If you are moving on high heights, then definitely you need to have safety belts. For that environment to be safe, definitely you need to have the discipline. You need to follow the rules of safety and you need to ensure that you follow the process. Discipline lies in you ensuring that whenever you are doing activity, you use the safety means and measures. It doesn't help in you trying to reach a scaffolding without the safety belt tied in to the scaffolding. You should not do the welding without the safety glasses or the safety gloves. You should not lift heavy equipment without wearing the safety boots. And definitely the discipline has to be driven by the management. The management should ensure that all employees follow the safety rules and regulation of the premises, of the place of work, and ensure that it is hazard free and there is zero incidents or accidents of any nature within the place of work. There are definitely some dangerous occurrences which happen. As mentioned earlier, that accidents are incidents which are beyond your control at certain point in time. Very simple example given is collapse of a floor. So it could be as simple as there is water seepage in the ground and the floor has just caved in. Due to some issue with some safety valve, the pipe just burst and there is steam everywhere. Due to metal fatigue, the crane supporting pillar or cantilever cracks and it collapses. It is very, very essential that whenever incidents which are beyond your control are documented, there is a clear analysis of why that situation happened, what was the situation before the incident, what were the steps taken after the incident, for you to come up with a clear-cut plan to ensure that such incidents are prevented, basically don't happen in future. These incidents, whenever they happen, if documented, helps you to learn, helps you to gain experience that in future, whenever you encounter certain situations during your walk around or safety audits, you can immediately identify them and you can isolate the risk, or more better, you can delete the risk. you can completely mitigate the risk. As during our conversation earlier, we have seen that whenever you do the safety audit or safety round or walkthrough, you, to the best of your knowledge, try to identify situations where there is a risk. You should also highlight or try to capture what is the probability of the risk and what would be the severity of the risk. And then work towards an action plan wherein those risks get mitigated, eliminated, or if they stay residual, then they are documented and identified. Now, some of those risks can be easily taken away. You need to have proper illumination, you need to have ventilations, you should ensure that you follow the safety policies, procedures, not only of the organization, but whatever are laid down by the law under the Factories Act, under global guidelines of OSHA, ILO, there are many such guidelines. A good management of any situation, anything, you need to have good mix of supervisors. Competent supervisor, knowledgeable supervisor, experienced supervisor, where they can identify changes in situation, changes in environment, changes in conditions within the premises, factory or offices, and come back with a plan by which those risks can be mitigated. Whenever you do any kind of an activity, it has to be properly documented and the process has to be followed. Why I'm saying is that, suppose you are doing any manufacturing process, there is definitely a procedure. Let me give you an example. If you want to make an omelette, you can't put the egg first, then the oil, then later on salt, or you can't put the salt first, or you can't put the onions or tomatoes or green chilies or whatever, or taste enhancer. There is definitely a process to make a good omelette, right? Similarly, whenever you are doing any kind of work, there has to be some procedure. It can't be that everybody starts it and whims and fancy, then definitely you will not get the desired result. It is therefore essential that there is something called a SOP, Standard Operating Procedure. Everybody who is required to perform that activity has to be briefed and trained on SOP. SOP also needs to be revised in due course of time. You have to give people refreshers, take their feedback, and if they feel that the SOP can be amended by which the efficiency or productivity or the output will get enhanced, then definitely that has to get captured. Definitely, if you have right people for the right job, then definitely you will have better output. You will have less incidents, you will have less accidents, you will have less injuries. So that also has to be taken care of. Whenever you do that, it doesn't mean that you let go of those employees. You should work towards finding them right kind of jobs within the organization. If there is a certain job where you feel that they can do that work, then you need to train them on doing that job. You also have to ensure that all employees have their personal protective gear or equipment. If he is working in a factory, then he definitely needs to have safety shoes, he needs to have a helmet, he needs to have protective gloves, he needs to have protective glasses, right? So all means, equipments, gears necessary for him to perform his job safe, without any accidents, without any incidents, and he doesn't cause injury to himself, put himself at risk, or injuries to other, or the organization, or the equipment. Hence, it is to be better safe than sorry. In most of these high risk environments, you will see that there is something called as a work permit system. Now, if you have worked in a factory wherein you have encountered this work permit. So, work permit can be as simple as a pass given to a engineer, service engineer, or it could be as simple as a carpenter or a plumber to come and do certain activity. The work permit typically carries the date, the type of activity to be done, what are the do's and don'ts. If you go into more intricate work permit system, there is something called as CEM. It is called as Critical Environment Management. Suppose you are working in a manufacturing setup wherein say the bottling machine has to undergo some maintenance, then definitely you need to follow a procedure, there has to shutdown to be taken. So whenever you are doing CEM or critical environment management, or you are doing certain kind of activity of production enhancement, upgradation, or it could be maintenance, or it could be repairs, there has to be a proper methodology or documentation for it. Who will do what are the responsibility, what equipments need to be shut it down, what areas need to be isolated, who will do what at what time. So that is called work permit system. Whenever any kind of unpleasant incident or accident or any such situation occurs where there is an injury or there was possibility of injury but due to presence of mind it was avoided, please document that incident. It will be a learning for you and it will ensure that you come up with some mitigation strategy so that it doesn't occur in future. After completing all the above actions, okay, as I said earlier, is that we can do to the best of our knowledge to identify risk, to come up with certain strategies by which it can be completely eliminated or the risk is under control. But there are certain things where the risk is unavoidable. Let me go back to the example once again. I said that the risk of you meeting with an accident if you are crossing the road on green light is lesser and on red light is higher. Now there is a residual risk. You are trying to cross the road when the signal is green, but some smart person tries to jump the signal and hits you, then definitely that is a risk. Hence, whenever I was citing that example, I always said that it will be near zero but never zero, because this is the residual risk. It could be intentional or unintentional. So that is called as residual risk. Now, whenever you have that risk, it should be identified into four major categories. Is risk avoidance, which you definitely know that you have definitely ensured that the risk is completely avoided. Risk reduction, when you cross on the green light, definitely there is a reduction of risk. Risk retention, yes, there will definitely be certain element of risk of you meeting with an accident. And risk transfer. Risk transfer is basically that you give it to some third party to manage that risk. Like you wanted to cross the road to get something from across the road, then definitely you ask someone else to go and get it for you. So that would be risk transfer. Now risk transfer in an organization could be delegating or outsourcing that particular job wherein you feel that there is a certain element of risk, whereas you completely eliminate it from your side, but the risk remains, only the onus has transferred from you to some other person.